Take your Bible this morning and turn to 1 John, if you would. I got about six verses we're just going to read very quickly, and then we're going to move someplace else in the Bible. And I don't know if this message will make sense to you, but I pray that through the frailty of my study and the frailty of my flesh this morning, that God would deliver to you a blessing. I got to thinking, and it's always, when a holiday comes, it's always a struggle for me to come up with a sermon based on a holiday. It's always difficult for me. Sometimes I want to do it, sometimes I don't want to do it, and I know there's expectations that you preach on a certain theme and this and that and the other. And so I was kind of praying about that. I actually had, at the beginning of the week, had a different message, and I just never could put it together. And so I got to thinking about this, and I want you to, I may not make any sense till I get to the last point is really what's in my heart. The last point of my message is really what's in my heart today. And I want to say to you today, I think I probably know just about everybody here, but I want you to know I love you and I care about you deeply. Even if I don't know you very well, God's put a love in my heart for people. And I caught myself. I admit to you that in my nature, and I guess we're all this way in some way or another, in my nature I'm pretty judgmental. And I look at somebody for the first time and I immediately draw a picture, an image in my mind of who I think they are. Am I standing here alone? Okay. But I don't remember where it was, but I saw somebody, I think it was yesterday. I saw somebody at a gas station. And as soon as I saw them, my brain was figuring out who they were. That's how we are. That's how our brain works. But for some reason, in my heart, I had just kind of said, God, save that person. I'd like to see that guy in heaven. And that's hard to do. God has to put that in you. And I'm not bragging that, boy, I'm so spiritual. That's what happens with me all the time. Because it doesn't. And I'm like anybody else. I can be pretty ignorant to people that I've never met before, that I judge and size up and figure out I don't like them. But this guy walked in, and I just loved him. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to pray for him that he'd be saved. God knows who it was. And if you're here today, and something that's just been on my heart, is especially on Sunday morning, I'd like to just be giving people more of an opportunity to think about where they stand with the Lord. Because we can talk about all the things and all the issues that I preach about and all the things in life that goes on. But the truth of it is, you and I, they're going to load our body in a casket one of these days. But by the time they have picked up our dead body somewhere, by that time, we have already stood before the judgment throne of Almighty God. And it matters not what kind of funeral service they have over us. And it matters not what a preacher says. And it matters not what ritual or ceremony they perform over that casket. I don't care if it's a flag-draped casket or whatever. It matters not, because by that time, our soul has already stood before a holy God, the one who has the right to judge. And our crimes, our breaking of God's law, is going to come up. Things that we don't want to talk about here on this earth, they're going to come up. And so I want to make this right off the bat. I want to just say this very quickly, and I want to try to preach you this message, and I want you to think about this. Number one, you're a sinner. You have transgressed God's law. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's me, and that's her, and that's him, and that's you sitting here today. You have sinned and broken God's law, and you're fixing to be arrested. That's what death is. It's the angel coming to get your soul and take you before the court. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That means the punishment and the penalty for breaking God's law is death, eternal death in hell. And it's not that you're just unconscious in there. The Bible says it's everlasting torment. Doesn't stop. It is a life-death sentence is what it is. But the gift of God is eternal life. You have a get-out-of-jail-free card. And that is your acceptance of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. He died in your place for you. And if you shun that, you'll burn in hell forever. If you accept that, you will live forever. Simple choice. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 10, it says if we confess our sins, he is... No, that's 1 John 1:9. Romans 10 says if we confess with our mouth, there it is. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, I don't serve a dead Jesus hanging on a cross somewhere. I serve a live one. He rose from the dead. If we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And confession is not going in the door with a priest next to you telling him all your sins, because he cannot forgive your sins. Man cannot forgive the sins that you have committed against God. Only God can. And I guarantee you, you won't tell men some things you've done. But you'll tell God everything. And you can. Because he wants to, it's not that God's wanting to know what secrets you're hiding, because he already knows. He wants to forgive you. That's why he wants you to confess your sins unto God, my friend. With a mouth, confession is made into salvation. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, meaning God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I want to make this real simple for you this morning. One verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See how simple that is? And I'm one of these that just believes that when you're ready to break, if you'll just get out on your face before God and say, God, I don't know doctrines and I don't remember those verses, but God, would you save me? I believe God said, no! Don't like you, never did. Amen. God's looking for a family to adopt. Are you adopted? Say amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Turn there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous. How many believe that God's righteous? That means he's right. Say amen. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born of him. Now, this is Mother's Day, so think of who does the borning. It ain't you weak men. Amen, you little sissies. You better be thankful that God did not give you the blessing of birthing babies. I guarantee every one of us would be in a coma. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is what? Born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I want you to be thinking about birthing this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Look at there. I'm just going to make you turn to all the verses that are real easy this morning, all right? 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You believe that? Say amen. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, if you hate somebody, you need to get right with God. Amen. I said, if you hate somebody, you need to get right with God. Amen. That's working better. I caught you not listening. 1 John 5:18. And before we read 18, look at verse 4. I missed that one. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. How many of you like to overcome the world? Say amen. Whatsoever is born of God. Listen, you don't declare yourself to be a Christian. You don't just say, well, I think I'm a Christian. You don't just do that. You have to be born again. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:18. For we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Would you like the devil to leave you alone? Say amen. Now take your Bible, turn one more place, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 this morning. Turn there. Charge. See if you can beat me to it. I'm awfully slow this morning. It's a good thing I got my verses printed out. I'm going to preach on birthing. And I'm going to use the illustration of a man in the Bible that was birthed out of a promise. He was birthed out of a promise, and that's actually one of the things I'm going to preach on this morning. But really what I want to get to, and I may just skip over a lot of this stuff, but I want to get to the last part of what you were birthed for and birthed to. Number one, I'm going to tell you some things that, number one, if you're alive sitting in here in this building today or watching this, I'm going to tell you, you're here because God put you here. You were not a monkey 4 million years ago. Amen. You were not a monkey. You're not some snotting gorilla hanging from a tree, okay, that got better. Evolution is a lie because it teaches that man can make himself better. Everything that man has done has not made this world better. Okay, it's made it. We're getting worse. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. And so you're here this morning because God brought you into this world. And God brought you into this world under certain conditions. Our founding fathers in this country, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they were pronouncing to the King of England and to the world. They not only sent this letter to the King of England, they sent it out to different countries and it said, "We're free. We're in it. We're not. Don't call us Great Britain anymore because we're not. We are the United States of America." And they said that man, by virtue of his birth and virtue of him being man, is granted certain inalienable rights. And among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson wanted to put in there the right of property. And they thought that might look too much like slavery, so they didn't put that in there. But we're given the blessing and the promise of life, and we're giving the blessing of liberty simply because we are born. And this is the theme that is supposed to be in America. And this is why we are standing, and not just me, but you and a bunch of good Americans out there are standing up and saying, "You're not taking our liberties away from us." Okay, now I'll get to that in a minute. But God has granted to you, when you are birthed in this world, I know that we're conceived in iniquity and born in sin and all that stuff, and I know that in us is no good thing, and yet God has chosen to give man some things, and he's given them to him at his birth. And so if you are here today, and you are alive, you're sitting in his pews, and you're breathing air, I'm here to tell you, God has birthed you for a reason in this world. If you're here today, and you've been born again, God, I'm going to tell you something. The things that God has given you in this world will pass away, but the things God promised you in the next world, they will never, ever, ever, ever pass away. Somebody say amen. You know what I did? I went around, and Linda Carmichael knows this. I went around bragging that since I've been on this little CPAP machine that helps me breathe at night, I've been around bragging that I haven't had a cold for a year and a half. Woo! I'm better than y'all. And this week I've been coughing my head off, had a sore throat, and I get up in the morning and go like that. I'll tell you what, I haven't felt good all week this week, and I've spread it. I made sure that everybody in my house is going to get it. The things that God has given me in this world will pass away. The things that God gives me in the next world will never, ever, ever pass away. When I get to heaven, I won't need a machine to breathe for me at night, and I won't snore because I won't sleep. Amen. Okay, and I won't be sick no more, and I won't be fat no more, and I won't have a bad back no more, and I won't have need these glasses anymore, and I won't sin and hurt people no more. I'll be with Jesus. Somebody say amen. God promised you, he birthed you for something. And that's pictured in the story of Isaac this morning. Genesis chapter 17, are you there? Say amen. Oh, let's see here. Verse 15. God said unto Abraham, "As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Excuse me. God was changing the names, and when God changes your name, that means he's taken away your reproach, because you had a bad name. How many of you know that there's groups of people in this world that when your name comes up in a conversation, they go, oh. And one of the things that God does for us is he gives us a new name. Somebody say amen. So he gave Abraham, he said, you're not Abram anymore, you're Abraham. You're not Sarai anymore, you're Sarah. Saul, Saul, you went around killing Christians. Well, I'm not going to call you Saul anymore. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to call you Paul. Somebody say amen. And so he said in verse 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. And she. And this is after Ishmael was born. This is after that stupid mistake that Abram and Sarai made in thinking that God was going to give them a child some other way than what he promised. And that's how we are. We think, well, maybe God meant it this way. No, if God said it, he meant it exactly the way he said it. Say amen. So anyway, he said, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, this is a woman that is pretty near close to 90 years old. Now look in verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Boy, aren't you glad that God can see in the heart and nobody else can? Because that, Abraham didn't say this out loud. He said it in his heart, because we always think we can hide there. We always think we can hide inside of our heart, hide our real things, but God knows what's in there because the Word of God knows it. And God said, verse 19, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But look at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Abraham, Sarah, you're fixing to be parents. God said so. So I want us to look at Isaac very quickly this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your Spirit. Thank you for this Bible. And Lord, I really don't have anything to preach but the Bible. But that's good, because I'll mess it up. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you'd bless a message in somebody's heart. Lord, I don't know, Lord, who's here that needs to hear something from you. Lord, Father, we all do. But I just pray, God, Lord, that somebody, Lord, we'll receive a blessing, Father, from the preaching of your word. Help us realize, dear God, that we're not just an accident. Lord, that we're not just willy-nilly, Lord, in this world to do whatever we want to, and it doesn't matter. Help us realize, dear God, that by very nature, Lord, of us being born, you have ordained a very, very special thing for us in our lives and for other people. Lord, help us to see that. God, just be glorified today in the message. Be glorified, Lord, in my frail lips and my frail flesh. Be glorified today in your kingdom, Lord, be increased. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Isaac, now by the way, God didn't just say that Isaac was going to be born. Isaac was born. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Isaac is one of those great men in the Bible that, I mean, everybody knows his name, and we're kind of familiar with the story a little bit, but I just want us to look, number one, at some of the things that Isaac represents, and it all has to do with being born. And that applies, number one, to being born on this earth, and every human being born on this earth has the potential to have God do something great in their life. Do you believe that? Say amen. In other words, what I'm saying is that everybody in this world, and I don't care what you think about races or what you think about people of other countries and this and that and the other, I'm here to tell you that if they're born on this earth, Christ died for every man. Amen. Christ died for every single one of them. That's why we ought to send missionaries out. That's why we ought to pray for people that are over in Africa or some in Pakistan or some in places that you wouldn't go to and places you wouldn't live in that are out there trying to preach the gospel under threat of getting their head cut off. That's why you ought to pray for them, because people over there deserve to be saved just as much as people over here. Somebody say amen. But anyway, Isaac represents certain things that we are born into. And number one, take your Bible. In fact, I'll just read it to you this morning, move the message along. Number one, we're birthed of promise. We're birthed of promise. God blessed this world, and he told Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now that, you might say, well, God was putting that in Adam and Eve's effort. But I want to tell you something, unless God blesses it, it doesn't happen. Somebody say amen. And so God gave his promise. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I, verse 2, he said, I will make of thee a great nation. Up at this time, Abram had not had any children. He did not even have Ishmael through Hagar. And so he was without seed completely, had no offspring, nothing, no prospects. Him and Sarah had been married for I don't know how many years, and they'd never had a child. She had never conceived. And yet before it happened, God knew it was going to happen. And I want to tell you this morning, if God said it was going to happen, then you ought to trust him. Somebody say amen. But anyway, he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God gave the birth of Isaac was a birth based upon a promise. And I want to tell you something about the promises of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. God has made promises to you. And I want to tell you something. You might break your promises to God. You might break your promises to man. You might break your promises to society. But God will never break his promise to you. Somebody say amen. You were birthed as a result of a promise. And you were birthed to receive the promises of Almighty God. God promised you that he'd forgive your sins. Amen. God promised you that he would comfort you when you're mourning. God promised you that when you're brokenhearted, he would stand you up. God promised that if you'd fall, he'd rise you back from the dead. Those are the promises that God has delivered to you, and he gave them to you even before you were born. But when you're born and you breathe that first breath, the promises of God are affecting your life. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what, I'm wound up already. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, whereby are given to us, listen to this, exceeding great and precious promises. Now, if your husband says, honey, I'm going to take the trash out, I promise as soon as this show's over, I'm going to take trash out. Number one, he's probably lying. Number two, that doesn't sound like some great, precious promise to you. That just sounds like, well, it's his trash. He ought to take it out. Amen? Okay? But I'm talking about precious promises to you. I'm talking about marital promises. Where the husband and wife stand there and look at each other and they make promises to each other. Sometimes that works well. Sometimes that doesn't work so well. But I'm here to tell you that God has given you great and precious promises. And if you ever doubt it, just read them. Just read them, amen. Read your, you will listen. You want promises in your life? Read your Bible. There's all the promises you can handle in one day. God promised you eternal life. God promised you to be a blessing. God promised you all that. He promised you the greatness of his son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of your sin. You're born to receive the promises of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, listen to what Abraham said. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I shared at the beginning of this message this morning how you could be saved. It's your choice. I can't make you believe it. I can't make you believe the Bible. I can't make you believe God. It's yours either to believe or disbelieve, but I'm here to tell you that if you'll just believe God, he'll save you. Somebody say amen. God wants to see you in heaven. You have to be born twice to get there. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I want to tell you something. If God promised you he's going to take your trash out, he took your trash out, didn't he? Amen? And if God promised he's going to save you, he's going to save you. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you something. If God promised he was going to save you, you might not be feeling it today. But I guarantee you at the time of your death, you're going to know. I was with Bob Feeler when he passed away. And I want to tell you what. God promised him that he would save him. And when he died, he's in heaven today. Somebody say amen.
I was there. I heard it out of his mouth. He said, I don't care what happens. I want you to know that I'm going to go to heaven. He knew that God was going to keep his promise.
Well, I'm going to stop and pray to God to put some kind of amen spell on you. Let me say this to you this morning. Your birth to be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and everybody else that come from them. You say, well, I'm not a Jew, so it doesn't apply to me. Yeah, but you are the seed of Abraham by faith. You are an adopted son of Abraham because you believed the way Abraham believed, and you are given that promise, not only that you're birthed for a promise, but you're birthed to be a blessing. Now, I want to speak to your heart just for a minute. I'm going to calm down just a little bit. I want to speak to your heart for a minute. People, every now and then, somebody will say, Pastor Mike, you're a real blessing to me. And I don't say, well, of course. What was you doing without me all these years? I did try that on Lisa one time, and it didn't work. Well, aren't you glad you married me? And you know what I tell them? Thank you. Because I've been a curse before. And I'd much rather be a blessing than to be a curse. There are people in this world that are a curse to society. They're a menace to society. You believe that? Lock them up, throw away the key, do whatever. They're a menace to society. They're a curse to society. And I want to tell you something. As long as you're out in sin, you are a curse. You're a curse to yourself, and you're a curse to your family, and you're a curse to everybody around you. Listen, you're unclean, and you're a curse. God told everybody around you, stay away from you. They're unclean. If you're out in sin this morning, you're backslid on God, you're not a blessing, you're a curse. And I want to tell you something. God didn't birth you into this world to be a curse. He birthed you into this world to be a blessing. So I want to ask you daddies this morning. I want to ask you husbands. How many of you would like to be a blessing to your wife? I want to ask you mamas, how many of you would like to be a blessing to your husband instead of curse to him? I want to ask you, how many of you would like to be a blessing to your children? We don't get a whole lot of that anymore in today's world, do we? You never listen, these young ladies that are getting married, they don't know who they're going to end up with 5-10 years from now. And I want to tell you something. You pray that you can be a blessing to your husband or to your wife, and you pray that you can be a blessing because that's what God birthed you for. God didn't bring you into this world so you can kill people and hurt people. And listen, God's not in that. God birthed you into this world to be a blessing to people, to be a help to people, to be an encouragement to people. Pray that you're a blessing. Children, listen to me. Pray that you're a blessing to your mom and dad instead of curse to them. Pray that you're a blessing to your mom and dad. Pray that they're not pulling you out of a courtroom somewhere and you got a jacket over your face with handcuffs on you because you don't want the shame of being seen on television. Pray that you get to be a blessing to your family. Pray, hey, listen, what's wrong with America is we got too many Americans that don't want to be a blessing to their country. They want their country to be a blessing to them. It's the wrong way. We need some people that will say, you know what? I'll be a blessing to this country. I'll do what's right. I'll do a day's work for a day's pay. Yeah. Amen. I won't break the laws. I won't speed. The police won't need to watchdog me every step of the day. You want liberty? Quit doing stuff that's wrong and be a blessing to your country. Yeah. Amen. Now listen, I'll amen that real loud. Because I want to tell you something. This country was given to us by a promise of God. It was to be a blessing to us. And right now, our country is not a blessing either to its people or to the rest of the world. And we were birthed better than that. I'm going to wipe. It ain't hot in here. I want to tell you something. I got a zeal for this church. I got a zeal for your family. I got a zeal for my family. I got a zeal for America, people. I got a zeal for the kingdom of God. And most people in this country, especially in this world, but most people in this country would not give you a dime to go to church. And it's about time that the kingdom of God people stood up to be what they were birthed for. And that is to be a blessing to this world. And not a curse to it. Somebody say amen. by nature of you attending Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri, a King James Bible-believing right-wing fundamentalist, we believe in the second coming and the millennial reign and the cross and the blood and that sin's wrong, including homosexuality. We believe that all that's wrong. And by nature of you attending here, you're on somebody's list. You're on some government list somewhere. I guarantee you they know who you're here this morning. I don't believe that. Well, they followed your cell phone signal in. And if you don't want them to know they're here, pull the battery out and walk. Listen, you think I'm nuts? I've done my homework. Amen? So number two, your birth to be a blessing. Number three, your birth to be different. Your birth to be different. Genesis chapter 21, verse 4, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. He was to be different. Isaac was born to be different. He was to be different in his appearance and everything about his life. He was to be separated from everybody else around him because of a mark that God told Abraham to place upon him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, young people, listen to me, especially young people. Don't fall into the stupid trap of trying to be like every thug out there in America. I want to hear some mom and dad say amen. Don't fall into the stupid trap of whatever MTV tells you, or whatever the kids are doing at school, or whatever they're part of, or this and that and the other. Don't fall into that trap. God did not birth you to be just like everybody. He birthed you to be better than that. He birthed you to be different than everybody else. And I will say this to you, and I will say this out of love, okay? This young man right here blesses my heart. He is different, but I know his mom and daddy, and I know how they feel about him. He's special. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. But if he were my son, I would love him like they love him. Amen? And I look at Stan back here and Stacy and Frank and all these other. Listen, they are special. They are unique. God made them that way. And I have no doubt in my mind that when I go to heaven, I'm going to see him, 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 him. That's Mike's picture up there. He's waiting on me. And Eddie. Man, I can't wait to see Eddie. I'm here to tell you that what the world rejects, that's who God made you to be. Marvel not if the world hates you, Jesus said. Amen? Marvel not if the world hates you. God has birthed you to be special, to be different, to be set apart. That's how God's birthed you to be. So quit trying to be like everybody else in the world. And let's be like Jesus. Can I hear you say amen? And this is what I wanted to get to. You were birthed to be free. Why is it that we're really worried about what's going to happen in our country? Why is that? Why is that? They're going to take our freedoms away, aren't they? And I guarantee you that left unchecked, unless the Lord does something, your kids and your grandkids are going to grow up in a socialistic dictatorship in this country. Yeah, that's exactly why. Because God birthed mankind to want to be free. You cannot cage a human being forever. He will spend, unless you absolutely break his spirit and his will, he will do everything in his power to get to be free. Am I right? Galatians chapter 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Hagar was a slave to Sarah, and Abraham slept with her, not in God's will. He was wrong in doing it. And she gave birth to a son, Ishmael. And when when Sarah cast Hagar out, Ishmael went with her. He was born in bondage. The other son, Isaac, was born of Sarah, who was free. He was born to be free. And you, my friend, when God birthed you in this earth, He birthed you to be a free person. He gave you inalienable rights that only God can take away. Those rights are to be free in our thoughts, in our conscience, in our actions. If we choose then to violate God's law and God's will, what happens when people violate the laws of mankind? They have their freedoms taken away from them. And they ought not be allowed to vote. That is one of the bills in Congress right now, is to reverse 200 years of public policy in this country, and that is allow felons to vote on political candidates. It's in the Congress right now. That would be a detriment to a free society. Listen, I know some people don't like preaching that politics, but I want to tell you something. I ain't shutting up no more. I love my country. Amen? Amen? I love my country. And God gives us foundations for freedom in this country. And when we walk away, when we walk away from this Bible, we walk away from the freedom and the liberty that God has birthed us for. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, then you are in bondage. You're in iron chains, my friend, because sin tells you what to do. The lust of your eyes dictates your actions. The lust of your flesh dictates your actions. Your pride dictates your actions. You are not free. And God birthed you. He put it in your nature to be free. That's how you were born. And if you're here this morning and you're in sin, you need to be set free. Because it's in there. And God wants to birth it out of you so that you can be free. And I'm going to ask you that. I want everybody to bow your head this morning and close your eyes.